Reformation of Ummah, Ummah. Reformation of Ummah, Ummah. Reformation of Ummah, Ummah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله الحمد لله رب العالمين A very warm and heartfelt welcome to one and all الحمد لله رب العالمين All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abundance of peace and blessings be upon Nabi Kareem Rauf al-Rahim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his illustrious family and noble companions alayhim wa ridwan. Alhamdulillah, once again, yes, I am accompanied by our honorable scholar, Mawlana Ziyad Madani Hafidhahullah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Once you come in the world, Ya Sayyidi, it's a host of things that a person has to see through. You know, as you are born, you grow up, and you look back and you think to yourself, when I went to school, when I graduated, when I got married, how fast I had children,
yes.
How fast I became a father, a dada, Allahu Akbar. And then you just look back and your 50 years feels like nothing.
Absolutely.
I'm just recalling that wonderful question that Malik al-Muta alayhi salatu wasalam asked Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam with regards to how did he feel the years that he lived.
Hmm.
And in a simple explanation, he mentioned, I felt like, this 950 years felt like a house that has two doors.
Hmm.
I entered from the front and I exited from the back. Allahu Akbar. Just like that, Ya Sayyidi. And yet when we come here, this 50 years, 60 years that we spend, like Nabi Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, he spent 950 years and more years, subhanAllah, preaching Islam, calling people toward the righteousness, so on and so forth. And this is how, Ya Sayyidi, the problem around this lifetime surrounds us. The stories of you becoming a father, now you have to go and look for money, you have to go and look for wealth, you have to go and look for support to support your family. Huh? You have to go and find a job. Then you have children. Then your whole life like revolves around your child from morning to evening. You're trying to give the child a better life, schooling system, education, clothing, and the wonderful things in life that a child appreciates. You know, every father looks forward to that.
Yes.
And then we spend this 50, 60 years, I won't say chasing the dunya, but trying to take much of it to give our families a good life. Some
yes.
chase the dunya, some look for that little comfort.
Mm.
And but our time gets utilized, finding that happiness, finding khushi, and then the end of life comes. But many people, Ya Sayyidi, are then surrounded by such hardships and difficulties and adversities and calamities that surrounds them and takes them like a tsunami. It swipes them off their feet.
Mm.
They are living, but everything in their lives is affected. Their peace is ruined. Their harmony is all ruined. They can't think straight. They can't eat properly. They can't rest in peace. They're living in depression. They have anxiety. They have other problems in their lives. And this is because of the common things that we all face in life. We all have families. We have parents. We have siblings. Alhamdulillah.
Yes.
We have relatives. And from them stems these problems. From the issues of life stems those problems, which keeps us so tied to life and so caught up with things that then we cannot bring in and introduce our spiritual side of our life. You know, our Islam is on one side, our dunya is on one side, and the chakkar between both that we're trying to bring parallel to each another, we realize, Ya Sayyidi, that this time is over and it's time for us to leave the dunya, and there was not much that we could even do.
Yes, yes, that same family, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, that you know, we work so hard to support and to look after and to keep them happy. Mm. They become sometimes the means of our happiness, and the same family also sometimes
becomes the means of our challenges and our difficulties.
Dunya is like this. Life is like this. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that ad-dunya sijnul mu'min wa jannatul kafir, isn't it? It's a famous narration, famous hadith, that the dunya, this world, is a prison for the believer.
Mm.
And it is for the one who disbelieves, then this is that person's jannat, because they have no rules, no regulations, nothing that they feel that they need to live by. But the person who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believes in the wahdaniyat, in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knows that I have to obey the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for this person, they understand that dunya is a prison, and prison is this dunya, which is the sijin, is this prison. Things don't always go well in it. You know, we're going to have some tough times. Fir'aun was the person who never went through too much of difficulties, but we alhamdulillah, Allah blessed us that we go through some difficulties. At least we remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one, He's the being, He who is in control of our lives, that we don't forget our Rabb subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these difficulties do come our way. Sometimes it's by means of family, sometimes it's by means of our work, our finances, etc. But life is like that. There are ups and there are downs. There are ups and there are downs. And we have to learn to appreciate the ups and downs. And I heard this beautiful saying actually. It's said that smooth seas never made good sailors. Gotcha. Smooth seas never made good sailors. Good sailors become good sailors because they went through the rough oceans.
Wow.
They went through the storms. They went through the difficulties. There were times when the water that's supposed to be outside ended up inside. There are times that they pushed in one direction by the wind, but it pushed us in the opposite direction. These things come with life. And from the people that I've seen around me, I don't think I saw someone with a completely smooth sailing life. Life is like this one.
You know, Maulana Sahib, I think life is like this mainly because people have a lot of expectations.
True. It's one of the main reasons.
A lot of expectations that we have from people. Every person has some sort of expectation.
Mm.
I done some action and I expect this results to come out.
Right.
You know? And when the results aren't according to our expectations, then a person then falls into depression, anxiety, stress. And these are just not low moods and those normal things that a person faces. It goes beyond that, Ya Sayyidi.
Mm-hmm.
It affects a person's mental health, and he no longer can think and see things as he would normally do. His behavior would change. His likings would change. He would like to be secluded.
Mm.
I mean, these are just some definitions of depression. People experience different things in life.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the outcome of expectations.
True.
Why people have expectation, Ya Sayyidi? I mean, can you live a life without expecting nothing in return from your husband? The husband expects nothing from the wife in return. You know, you do good for your children and don't expect that they're going to look after me in my old age. Can any person think like this? Or what is the solution for this?
I wouldn't say it's an impossible thing, but it's a very difficult thing actually to live without any expectation. Yes, we have to remind ourselves from time to time. A beautiful thing to do is to always remember that. I keep reminding yourself of this. I'm hopeful that the expectations would drop. But to some extent, as being insan, as being human beings, we tend to have some sort of expectation. For example, you know, Munasa gave the one example that someone looks after their children and they expect that their children will look after them in return. That's one expectation. But someone could say, no, I don't have any expectations from my children. But then we do actually have some expectations. Just think that even if we're not looking at them looking after us when they become, of age, and when they are in their prime and we are in our old age, even if we're not looking towards that. But let's say, for example, we instruct our children to do something, we have the expectation that they will obey. We speak to them, we have the expectation that they will give respect. So some amount of expectation is going to be there. And we can't always say that it's negative, that it's bad. Some amount of expectation sometimes could be good, that you expect that your children obey you. You expect that so-and-so does that which they were supposed to do. So alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. However, with all of those expectations, there are going to be disappointments, And sometimes our expectations go a little too far. That we don't mention these expectations, but our way actually shows us that we had this expectation. Let's take, for example, I'm going to describe, something that could be a tragic incident in our lives. We are all insan, that you lose a loved one. Someone loses a loved one. That means that a loved one passes away. And if a loved one passes away, sometimes we experience so much of sadness. And the sadness is natural. Someone could say that you had the expectation that they would still remain for a longer period of time. Isn't that true? Sometimes you expect that. I thought they're gonna spend more time with me.
But the person wasn't so sick. There was no symptom of the person leaving. Yes. Without any notice.
So that expectation is there. And then when the person passes away, there's this feeling of sadness that overcomes us. No, we are insan. We are human beings. Sometimes we knock ourselves down too hard for feeling the sadness. We are insan. We are human beings. We naturally have attachments to certain people, to certain things in our life, to certain events sometimes in our lives. So when we have attachments, then we are going to feel a loss. We're going to feel a little sad. when things are not going in our happy direction, when things are not going as we wanted or as we expected for them to go. So sometimes you'd want someone to spend more time in your life, but it's such that the person passes away. So naturally we feel sad, and it's not a bad thing exactly to feel sad. I think where the problem does come about is that also another tendency of human beings is that we have difficulty letting go of certain things. So if we felt sad, then we have difficulty letting go of the feeling of sadness.
Okay.
If we felt happy, we have difficulty letting go of the feeling of happiness.
Achoo.
So because we have so much of difficulty letting go of everything that comes towards us, people say human beings are covetous, that they want something and it's got to stay with them. They can't leave them. So when we always holding on to everything, this tends to cause our downfall. It causes our downfall if we hold on to wealth. It causes our downfall if we hold on to sadness. Actually, it causes our downfall if we hold on to happiness as well. We can't be holding on to things too much. Human beings, insan has to be such that their hands have to be open. You have to allow for things to come in and allow for things to go out. The moment we start to grasp and clasp onto everything, then that's when we start facing difficulty. You find that the sadness of one day becomes a depression of 10 years. Well, it was a sadness of one day.
Allah.
Yes, it could have been for 3 days. It could have been for 40 days. It could have been for some amount of time that you were in that mourning state or in that difficulty. But if we're going to hold on to that and never going to see the sun rise again, then we, even though the sun rises, we're going to feel like it's night. At some point, we've got to realize that, the place is... Our heart is such that it felt sadness for the moment, and we're going to recall that from time to time, because we're going to recall our memories and so on that we cherish about certain persons, loved ones. But difficulties come and difficulties go, and happiness comes and happiness goes. We need to open ourselves up to the rest of the dunya, to the rest of the world.
Because life continues.
Life
continues. And then what's really difficult to understand, that yes, these sadnesses surround us. I've also given a very wonderful example, because losing a loved one would cause this, right?
Absolutely.
There are people out there who cannot live without their parents.
Right.
And most people, alhamdulillah, rabbil alamin, may this be the case where we love and we miss our parents, to such an extent.
Mashallah.
But on the other hand, there are people out there, as you said, Mahasab, they cannot do without it, You have lost a loved one and a sadness surrounding your life. But when this sadness is persistent, when this sadness is prolonged, when this sadness lasts like for almost forever, any person's life, then this is the thing that pushes him into depression,
Absolutely.
When the sadness is extended, and a person then no more feels the same, he no more thinks the same. Everything is actually compromised with Allahu Akbar, lack of concentration, not feeling to do anything good in his life. The same activities that he used to look forward to in once upon a time in his life, he doesn't want to enjoy that any longer.
Right.
These are those common things that then affects our life, due to which the quality of life is now lessened.
Right.
A person then, in such cases, people resort to drugs, people go to other substances, people want to commit suicide, some people want to do some adrenaline junkie, some sort of thing to keep them on the high. And this allows for them to deal with the current problems that they have. And I'm telling you, Sayyidi, if you really go out to research and find people who assumed and thought by holding on or grasping onto things like that, it would remove their sicknesses and their problems for a long time to come. Allahu Akbar, many of such people lost their lives, almost lost their lives. Many of such people were rushed to the hospital and almost, assumed dead. But Allah Kareem given them another chance, another life, for them to only come out of it and sit back and watch, what did I do with my 10, 15, 20 years of my life?
Absolutely.
Allah
Actually,
Akbar.
You see, when people tend to resort to these things, like Manasab spoke about, people move towards substance abuse, for example, thinking that I have this difficulty, I have this challenge in life, something that has caused me sadness, and I've allowed that sadness to cause me to make me fall into depression. So then people tend to want to forget about that state. So just wanting to forget about that state, wanting to forget about our difficulties, and then moving towards substance abuse in order to forget about that. But for how long will you forget about it? Substances, number one is that it's impermissible for us to abuse substances to take us into the state of intoxication. But along with it being haram and not being allowed as well, for how long is one going to remain in that state, in the state of intoxication? It's going to wear off, isn't it? And once it wears off, then our difficulty comes back, our sorrow comes back. So it hasn't left us completely. We as insan, we have to grow. We are, you know, mashallah, I'm hopeful that many of our viewers are adults, and some maybe, you know, youngsters still coming into the stage of becoming adults. But as we becoming adults, we have to grow and we have to think like adults. We have to realize that problems don't go away by us just blocking our eyes. You know, little children have this way. They don't want anyone to see them, so they close their eyes. And when they close their eyes, they believe that the world can't see me just because they can't see the world. You'll see it also in some creatures. I know it was famous, you know, regarding ostriches, that they'll place their head within the ground when they come across some danger or something that they don't want to see, and they expect or they assume that everything can't see them or everyone else can't see them. We are adults, and adults must realize that us blocking our eyes from the difficulties we face won't make them disappear. There comes a point at which we have to open our eyes again. So we have to work on coming to terms with things. We have to work on the difficulties and the problems that we do face. And if we're going to work on things, then inshallah things will get better. The grass isn't always greener on the other side. It's green where you water it. Meaning that people just assume that, okay, things are better on that side. No, no. Where you put in the efforts, things will get better. We have to put in that effort.
But again, see, there are people who are putting a lot of efforts.
Right.
I met a brother on the day of Eid who mentioned to me that for the last 15 years, Tabril Bhai, my life is in a mess.
Allah. You
know? Things in my life aren't working out, and I'm tired of this unemployment issues and matters.
Mm-hmm.
I've got family to support, and I'm just tired of looking for solutions in my life, asking for advisors, taking things to use and to do in order to get perhaps this thing out of my life where I feel like I'm held back, like a bandish, like a blockage type of thing. And some are stuck with this problem and issue, right? And many actually are facing this matter. Some make it out, some don't make it out. Some are still struggling and thriving day in, day out to come out of the situation, right? And likewise, Mulana Sahib, some are fighting health issues and matters.
True.
But if you look at it as commonly throughout the world, even South Africa as well, right? The thing that bites us on a day-to-day basis is expenses.
True.
People have to meet their needs at the end of the month.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
This is that one chase that we all have in life, and that is to make sure that I'm not mohtaj to any person asking to help me to pay my license and water, asking him to borrow me some money to buy milk and bread in the home. And every father's pressure is this, that he has to fulfill the demand of his family. And this at times also puts people into depression. If you look at the youth, they have their own depression that they're working with. Half of them are worried because of school, because of married life, or wanting to get married. They are facing different challenges. You know, children abuse, as such as what they've seen their parents go through in their lives. There's one child who's 14 years old who has lost control. Parents cannot control this child. So wild and so difficult that he would throttle his parents at times. He would go to that extent of fighting with them, hitting them. And he's 14 years old. But when you look back into the lives, was it the parents that behave so rudely towards each other that causes the child to become like this? And he's 14 years old but expelled from school. 14 years old but has no respect for any person. And and vulgarism is on the tip of the tongue, and not one. There are many examples to give like this. So we are fighting and we are facing a huge battle in this dunya. And many of us are so oblivious of this, ki bas kamai or jai. But actually Islam has given solutions for these problems.
Absolutely.
There are solutions out there besides antidepressant tablets and medications and going to a doctor for advice and taking advice from other people. Yes, all these things are common and they should actually happen in your life. If a person feels he's depressed, should he not take advice from somebody who can remove his
difficulty? No, most definitely. You see, we live in a world of means as well.
Right.
And these things are means as well. That means someone is feeling that they're falling into depression. We need to speak to someone.
But that's the point. On this note, Yasayidi.
Yes.
Everyone knows this. Every child knows this. I can report to my principal. I can report to my mother, my father, my sibling, some person.
Right.
Every person has someone in his life. Allah has given that person somebody to speak to. And if you feel there's nobody, talk to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam.
If you feel there's no one, then speak to the awliyas. You know, meditation is very important. This happens. You present your plea in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why is he not listening to our problems? Does he not know about our problems in our life? When he says, I do not burden his soul more than he can bear.
Subhanallah.
These things are in place. فَإِنَّمَا عَلْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّمَا عَلْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا That Allah Kareem has promised us that there's ease after those difficulties in life.
Absolutely.
But at the end, if you put drugs on one side, you put substance on one side, put the high on one side, and you put advice on one side, a person feels, I just want to go the way I forget my problems.
Right.
People want to forget what they went through. This is the problem.
You see, that
people don't want to be reminded of how bad my past was.
That's also important. What Murad Sahib mentioned now, it's important to get to know, to just to come to the realization that I want to get forget, but for how long? For how long is it going to last? I'm going to forget for 5 hours, for 6 hours, for 2 hours, for 12 hours, but after 12 hours, I'm going to remember again. So, you know, the person who, let's say, for example, if they, I'm going to give a very basic example, that there's a student that went through the examinations, they studied through the, or they, you know, were in school through the year, they didn't work very hard, they went through the examinations, they failed the examination. So now there's the stress about, oh, I failed my examinations, what am I going to do? If this person says that this is my difficulty, this is my challenge, I failed my examinations, I can't manage thinking about this, I want to forget about it. And so they move towards substance abuse. So when they do go into the state of intoxication, into the state of being intoxicated, for how long will you forget? For 5 hours, for 10 hours, for, you know, how long? Are we going to say, okay, maybe someone went onto a high for 24 hours. Fine. Example.
But now it's an addiction.
Yes, but the thing is, that it's going to come back, isn't it? We're going to, besides just the addiction, you're going to remember the problem eventually again. What we need to do is to come to terms with it. We need to know that, okay, I have failed, why have I failed? These are things we don't want to face. We don't want to face that we have failed. Firstly, we have to face that we have failed. Then we have to face why have we failed? We need to put pen to paper. We need to realize that these were the causes of failure. I need to eliminate the causes of failure so that the next time around it becomes a success. And that's the way it's going to become a success. The one who just goes into a state of intoxication and spends another year trying to forget about the failure of the previous year will fail the next year too. We have to come to terms with it, pen to paper, put our minds to it, recognize the failures, recognize the difficulties. If someone failed a year in school, recognize the failure, know why we failed. If someone lost a loved one, recognize the sorrow, recognize the grief. Don't hide from this. We know of people that unfortunately, you know, naturally, we are living in dunya where we do lose people, but they lose loved ones and they don't focus upon it. They just try to brush it away from their mind that, oh, I lost a loved one, I don't want to think about it because I might feel sad. We need to sometimes think of these things. We need to think of it, but we need to leave it in that thought. We need to think of it. We need to recognize that, yes, I'm going through this sorrow, I'm going through this grief. We need to speak to people. People who can understand us, that we can explain ourselves. Mm. Yes, they won't understand it completely the way we understand it because we are feeling the difficulty. But it needs to come off our chest. We need to face these things. Mm. We need to take some time off. We need to take time to think. We need to take time to unwind. We need to take time to, you know, to come to terms with it. If we need a shoulder to cry on, we need to find a shoulder and cry on the shoulder. But these are ways of us being able to some extent, let go. Let go of the difficulty. Yes, hold on to the fond memories of the person. Hold on to the goodnesses. But to some extent, get a little off our chest. Hiding from it is not going to make it go away. Those people who hid from the difficulties, from the problems, from the losses that they faced, they can only hide for so long. Eventually, it comes back. And it becomes a depression. And it becomes something that we can't manage to live with anymore. People lose loved ones and they don't want to even think about it. It's going to hit us at some point. Why let it hit us and let it drop us? No. At that point, let's give it the thought. Let's give it the time. Let's speak to someone. If we have to speak to 10 people, then let's speak to 10 people. Let's cry it out. And inshallah azza wa jalla, we'll be able to then move on. But don't hide from our difficulties. The biggest problem, you know, I think that pushes us towards substance abuse is that we're trying to get away from our challenges. We're trying to hide from our difficulties. Face them. Even if it means difficulty for that moment, for those 5 hours, for those 10 days, but let it end there.
SubhanAllah, profound advice, Ya Sayyidi. And this is what we need to understand because it's unacceptable that why do we wish and we desire to ruin all the peace and happiness in our families. Our children should not be seeing parents fight and argue over those matters which we have not done with for the last 10, 15 years. The same child is now 15, 16 years old watching his mom and dad fight every single day because of those challenges of life. There are many people just wanting to be in those marriages despite fighting and arguing, not knowing how they are ruining each other's lives, including the other family members that live with them. So, as you said, Maulana Sahib, we need to confront these issues and matters, whether Absolutely. It's a death, whether it's failure in life. And the best part is that we have each other to lean against. I mean, When a person is depressed, he feels puri dunya mein main akele hi pareshan hai. Every person who's depressed feels as if there's no one more heavier than him in challenges of life, you know. And it feels like a mountain on your back, on your shoulders, on your chest. Feel like you're going to throw up. You can't eat food. You can't relax. You can't sleep. Everything is compromised within life. And that is why I'm saying, Sayyidi, that many people, I know for person, you know, the stories you'll often read, they face depression. Some try to commit suicide. As I said a little earlier, one person's life got saved. And after getting saved, he looked back to realize, okay, I took my life. Allah gave me another chance. Today, he's helping other people who were in the same problem.
Subhanallah. How he used it so positively?
Positively. Because at that point in time, he did not see the same situation with the right lens.
Right.
After he almost lost this ni'mat of life. Now, others are losing it on a slow scale, like drugs. Drugs makes you lose it slowly, till you reach 50, 60 to realize, mein kya ho chuka hoon?
Yes.
As compared to a person who in a very good health wants to take his life. And then if he's given another chance, then he will realize that in one go, I almost lost this great ni'mat of Allah, the greatest blessing of Allah that he given me life. No one in the whole world can give life back to the person who tasted death, Ya Sayyidi. But Allah Kareem is the one who gives another chance. So I'm saying this again, Sayyidi, that on the life of the Anbiya, alayhi salatu wasalam, before our sight, that grief, sorrow, any of the hardships of life, if somebody swears at us, if somebody makes us feel like we're not good people any longer, because each person feels, I'm giving in so much, but in return, I get backbiting, I get slandering back in return. There are people out there who do good for people, but in return, they don't get the same good back.
Yes.
So this makes them feel so depressed. But I'm just saying this, that on the life of the messengers of Allah Azza wa Jalla before us all the time, look at the sorrow of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wa salam. Look at the taklif of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wa salam. Look at the blessed life of our beloved Aqa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Likewise, so many prophets of Allah Azza wa Jalla underwent various and different types of difficulties.
Yaqub alayhi salam.
Subhanallah. Salatu wasalam.
How much? Yaqub alayhi salam would cry so much. He loved Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, who was his beloved son. And he alayhi salam cried so much, and he would, you know, feel so fondly of his blessed son, that it's also mentioned that he lost his blessed eyesight as well, isn't it? But profound words they would utter, that I present my sadness, my sorrow, my grief in the court of Allah. This is hope. I'm going through the difficulties, but I can turn to my Rabb. He knows my condition. Nobody else understands me. It's fine. My Rabb understands me. And my Rabb, rather let's say my Rabb knows what I feel. Subhanallah Azza wa Jalla, my Rabb knows what I feel. He sees what I am. He knows who I am. He knows what I go through. And there's a lot of solace that I feel can be taken in the ayah that Mawlana Sahib recited just a little while ago. That tells us that Allah Azza wa Jalla lets us know that Allah Azza wa Jalla did not burden, and He does not burden any soul with more than it can bear. It's such a relief. It's such a relief that no matter what I'm going through, no matter what I'm going through, my Rabb knows I can bear it. Allah knows I can bear it.
Wow.
When Allah Azza wa Jalla knows I can bear it, and therefore He granted it to me, therefore I'm going through this difficulty, therefore I'm going through this challenge, because my Rabb knows I can manage. I can bear it.
Though we feel that we cannot bear it.
We feel like we cannot, but what do we know? Indeed, we don't know. Our Rabb knows. Allah Ta'ala knows. We never knew our strengths until we went into the deep end, isn't it? Someone doesn't know he's a sumai until he actually gets into the deep end, and then subhanallah Azza wa Jalla, you realize this person swims brilliantly. We don't know our capabilities. My father as well would do this with myself as well. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. It's how we learn our capabilities. And sometimes we say, no, we can't do. So the father puts you in the difficulty, he puts you in the deep end. That no, you're going to go and you're going to do it on your own. You're going to do it yourself. And when you're in that situation, after all the training, alhamdulillah, now you're in that situation, and then you're working really hard, and then you realize, alhamdulillah, before I know it, I did it already. So subhanallah azza wa jal, you couldn't do it. You just didn't know your capability. We might be going through difficulties. We might be going through challenges. Not might, we are. As much as every viewer of Badini Channel at this moment is going through their own difficulties, Maulana Sahib and myself, we're also going through our difficulties. Dunya is like this, life is like this. It's not smooth on one side and difficult on the other side. We all have our challenges.
Right.
But know that whatever challenge I am facing, my Allah knows that I can manage through this. If someone else is facing something different, Allah knows He can manage through that. Sometimes I can't manage your challenge and you can't manage my challenge. But isn't it sufficient for us to know that Allah Ta'ala knows that we can manage our own challenges? So when Allah Ta'ala knows that we can manage through it, then why are we losing hope? Why are we losing courage? Why are we thinking we can't? Know that Allah Ta'ala placed me here. He knows I have the strength. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, I will work hard. I'll face it. I'll do my best.
Subhanallah. And then, with this advice that Muhammad has given, right? If we take this same advice and we just for a moment assume and think like this, that we spoke about expectation in the very beginning, right?
Right.
And I think here again it links so well, Sayyidi, because it's like if you go into a garden full of roses, what's your expectation? Well, I'm just asking generally.
Yeah, if you go to, you expect beautiful smell, you expect beautiful colors, beautiful flowers, yes.
If you go into a shop that has perfume and other fragrances.
Yes, you expect to be blown away by the wonderful smells. You expect to enjoy your experience in that place.
Okay, alhamdulillah. The dunya, Sayyidi. This world is a combination of happiness and sadness.
Right.
No person, no other religions openly we say this, right? Because this is what's common and this is what's seen.
Right.
That gives you solutions at your birth, that once you grow up from that little age, you are taught not to have expectation from this place where you have come. Yani, from that time the child reads A'udhu billahi minashaitanir rajim. At what age? 3 years old? 2 years old? Three, 4 years old? The moment he steps in the madrasa, he learns the Quran that's teaching him already that don't have expectations from where you have come, from the place where you are living right now.
Right.
You have come to this place, but don't expect that everything will be according to how you want it to be. Because this is the camouflage of the world. This is why we have come here, to be tested in the first place.
Right.
We did not come to a party to enjoy and to leave the dunya. We came to get tested. Now, how can a person be told something from his childhood that you're going to be tested with hunger, with fear, with fruits, with some wealth, with some this and some that? When we know that this is the place to be tested, why did we not expect to be tested?
We forget, Mulana. We forget. Yeah, like the little children that get distracted, you know. Just watch children and you realize how many characteristics of little children we have too. That, for example, you know, a child will say something that, no, I don't want to go here. I don't want to do this certain thing. No, I don't want to eat my food. And then see the bird, and then the child sees the bird, how the bird is being, make the sound like the bird. They start making the sound and then the food is in the mouth and then they forgot about it. They're not wanting to The thing is, we are just like that. That we get distracted by these little things, like how children get distracted by a bird and a ball. We too get distracted. We live within this dunya, and we know that this is not a place for our comfort. We know that any enjoyment, char din ki bahar hai dunya, isn't it? This dunya is just enjoyment for a little while. Maut ka intizar hai dunya.
Allah has explained
beautifully as well. These are beautiful shares as well. That they make mention that what is it that we are here for? We just awaiting our death. This is not a nice place.
Jagaji lagane ki dunya nahi hai. Ye ibrat ki jaa hai, tamasha nahi hai.
This is not a place, that this world is not a place for us to place our hearts in, that we think that, oh, this is where our contentment lies.
Achha.
This is a place of lessons.
Right.
This is not a place of enjoyment. We know all of this. It's in our minds. But from time to time, we just keep getting distracted. We just need something to ground us all the time.
I think that's the thing.
Every time we go off, we need to be grounded. Yes.
And this is the job of the blessed, you know, examples extracted from the lives of our pious predecessors.
Yes.
This is the summary of the Quran Pak, Hadith Mubarak of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to teach us. That's educating us. That's helping us to understand. You came here. You can't ask for death. You came in this place here, and you're gonna have to live that lifespan which Allah has written for you in your
Subhanallah.
Life. Don't ask for death because of your problems in your life.
Mm.
Don't wish for it. Don't give it preference that I need to die because I can't take this pressure of life.
I've heard also, Murasa, that death, Sulaha mentioned this, Subhanallah, that death is the most difficult of everything that comes before it. Meaning, if we think life is difficult, death is more difficult. Death is more difficult than life. That's one of the reasons that people mention that if a person tries to take their own life, tries to commit suicide, then you realize and you note that at the time that they are leaving the dunya, at the time when their life is leaving them, they're trying to hold on to life. They start to realize they wanted to leave life. They wanted to die, but now they want to go back to life. Because death itself is so painful, it's so difficult, it's more difficult than everything that comes before it. But it's the easiest of that which comes after it.
Allah.
Meaning, things that are going to come after death are even more difficult than death itself. Death was more difficult than life, but after death is more difficult
than
death.
More difficulty. That is about the person is accountable for the actions he has
absolutely.
Done.
Therefore, we only have one choice, really speaking. We only have one choice. Our choice is to make this life so good for the Akhirah. To make this life so good for the Akhirah that I have to do everything that I can do in order to make my Akhirah good. If life is difficult, so be it. I need the Akhirah to be good. If life, you know, is crumbling down upon me, so be it. But I need the Akhirah to be good. So in this way, we'll start to realize that sickness of a few days, loss of a few days, crying of a few days, difficulties of a few days, you know, when you look at it in comparison to what is going to come later, if we can secure a beautiful Jannah, then what is the person of the world?
Subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. How beautifully said, ya Sayyidi. Acha, now comes the aspect where, subhanallah, on a day-to-day basis, look at the beauty of Islam. Right. Islam knows, Allah Kareem knows that this is the place of difficulties, right? This is the world of asbab and means. Not every time means is going to connect and we're going to get what we want in life.
Right.
And what makes it even more difficult is the fact that people see and what you see is what you want. And they express it and they show it and advertise it even more than it was 10, 15, 20 years back.
Very right? true.
So
very
it's
true.
Like you don't see it as you said, children block their eyes. Hum na dekhe, hum ye soch rahe ki dunya humko dekh nahi rahi hai, na? But now, even your eyes is closed, you're going to have to hear what they're selling out there.
Allah, Allah.
You close your ears, somebody, you're going to have experience. It's like that, Sayyidi. Everything is about advertisements, is about increasing the desire in your heart to want what the next person has.
Yes.
And everyone cannot have it.
Yes.
You're only shopping in your mind and the depression starts on the mind because you can't have it, you know? Some people can shop with their eyes only and it still affects their mind. And some take it to their heart and they end up in Khabaristan because they cannot separate from what they want. But look at the beauty of Islam. Islam gave us 5 daily salah. And if we have to only look at how the salah helps us to overcome depression from Fajr till Isha, it's just amazing, isn't it?
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
Absolutely.
If Mazhab can shed some light on namaz itself, the importance of salah,
absolutely,
how each namaz has to do with each difficulty, maybe perhaps inshallah.
Subhanallah. Actually, you know, when I was mentioning just now, Mazhab, that we need something to ground us. That means to bring us back to reality. To bring us back to reality. Because we get distracted. Life's like this. That we get distracted by this and we get distracted by that. And before we know it, we are too involved in this and we're too involved in that. Mu'minun, believers are so blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah azza wa jal blesses them with 5 opportunities every day that no matter how distracted you get, they will come the next salah time that will bring you back to your reality. It's the wake up call. It's the shake up that this is what you came here for. You didn't come here for this amusement and you didn't come here for that amusement and you didn't come here to get lost in the scent of the perfume shop and the beauty of the girl's garden. You came here for the sake of earning the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And salah does that to you. That every time you thought this is wonderful and this is great and I'm seeing this side of the world,
wow,
and you know, these things are all taking me back and I'm losing myself to all of this. But you come back to the court of Allah and you place your head upon the ground and you say, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, that glory be to my Rabb, to my Lord, who is the most high, who is the greatest. Subhanallah. That no matter how much of pleasures there are in the dunya and whatever it is that I'm experiencing and I think I'm earning my wealth, doing everything and it's all mine, I come back to the Musalla and I say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.
Allahu.
All praise is due to my Rabb, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That praise doesn't belong to me, it belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we keep reminding ourselves, our kalima shahada, ashadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh, every day in salah, and not just every day, 5 times a day.
Subhanallah.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us through this salah with many other beauties as well. Many other beauties as well. You'll find, like, subhanallah, in South Africa, we just after the time of Isha Jama'ah. It's Isha Jama'ah, Isha Salah. You notice that when you perform Salatul Isha, Allah Ta'ala blesses you with a peace that you would not receive if you left it. when you get up in the morning and you're performing Salat al-Fajr, Allah Ta'ala blesses you with the barakah in your day. Those viewers of Madani channel that already are, you know, habitual of Salat al-Fajr, you know there's a barakah in your day that Allah Ta'ala grants you. Other people who don't perform Salat al-Fajr, they don't get this barakah.
Allah.
But Allah Ta'ala gives you this barakah. You see this barakah, and when you see it, you don't want to miss it anymore. Sometimes we work the entire day, and then because people are just rushing home, and you know, they lose their Salat al-Asr. But the barakah and your sustenance just disappears like that.
Allah.
Because you left Salatul Asr. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the one who misses Salatul Asr is as if that person has lost all of his wealth and all of his family. These things are bringing barakah into our lives, bringing barakah into the wealth, bringing barakah into our family, bringing barakah in our time, bringing barakah into our sleep, bringing goodness into our life.
But again, the same people who suffer from depression mention that Allah doesn't burden the soul more than it can bear. Then Allah knows that we are trying to earn a livelihood for our families. That's why we miss our salah. People give these excuses, Ya Sayyidi,
that
Allah Kareem, who is the owner of this planet, who is the owner of all the world, He knows well enough, better than we know, what's our problems. So this excuse, can it be valid?
See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows your difficulties, most definitely. But Allah azza wa jalla is the one who is giving sustenance. We can't take our time to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is going to give us the sustenance. Do we think that chasing the opposite direction is going to bring us goodness? Allah azza wa jalla gives the sustenance. When we make Allah Rabbul Izzah's pleasure the focus of our life, everything else falls into place. When we lose focus of the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything falls out of place. You find that the same dunya you've been chasing will run away from you. But when you chase the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the dunya chases after you. This is what our sulaha tell us, and they are true to their word, that really many have tried this, many have tested this, and many have succeeded in this way. That they realized that I focus on the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the dunya, the world and sustenance and livelihood, it will chase. It will chase me. But when I chase after this world, it will run further away from me. And in that way, the person who says that, okay, I can't manage to perform Salatul Asr because my work is very busy, eventually it will become Salatul Dhuhr and Salatul Maghrib and Salatul Fajr and Salatul Isha, until all Salah leave from their lives. And then what is the difference between how they are living their lives and how disbelievers are living their lives? Because there's no space in their lives in which they are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Disbelievers live like that, but we are believers in Allah. We believe in Allah.
So the masjids, basically, masjids, madaris, places where ulama said to give advice. So these places are actually healing spaces, can we say that?
Absolutely. These are central places of society. Whenever we have difficulty, we need to look towards masajid. And whenever we have happiness, we also need to look towards masajid. This is it. The masjid is the center of our society. Don't only look towards it at the time of a funeral, and only at the time of a wedding. Or masjid is the central space of our society.
Wow.
This is the, actually, you know, when people are feeling alone, people feel like, I don't have anyone, I don't have people around me, just go for salah. Go for salah and say, I'm going to go for all my salah to the masjid. And you'll realize, I have so many people around me. Alhamdulillah. There are many other believers, there are many other Muslims who are also coming to perform salah. Your networking will start growing from the masjid. And we want to network from this place, and we want to network from that place, and we want to speak to people here and speak to people there. Why can't we network from the places of ibadah? At least we'll find people who have the common interest in ibadah. That, oh, I'm going to see you again at the next salah. Alhamdulillah, now I have something to look forward to. I know I'm going to perform salah, and at the same time I'm going to meet this brother, and then we'll meet again at the next salah, and at the next salah. You'll notice that you'll grow such good fondness and such good friendships with people on the basis of seeing them for salah, that now you start asking about them, now you start linking up with people. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, you're not alone anymore. You're not alone anymore, because together you have other people that, no matter how difficult my day was, I'm going to stand all together. We're going to stand shoulder to shoulder with the next person, and together we're going to throw all our problems behind us and say, Allah is the greatest.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Kya baat hai, what a beautiful way to explain it, Ya Sayyidi.
Subhanallah.
And this is how it is. A banda places his head onto the ground to realize that the thing that stressed me out, the things that cause all my happiness to be ruined for the day, once you place your forehead onto the ground, it feels like the ground has extracted all of that negativity
Alhamdulillah.
From the mind. And a person is then, when he exists in masjid, Ya Sayyidi, you feel so much that you have achieved. Yes. Just by prostrating in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His bargah to forget your problem. Then He is the one, by the way, is going to give us a solution to our problems.
Yes.
So if you went to the court of Allah azza wa jalla being depressed, how can you leave the court of Allah while still being depressed? You came depressed and you're supposed to leave at ease, subhanAllah, where the person is now looking for the next salah and the next salah. And this is how it is, Ya Sayyidi, that Fajr salah, once you enter the masjid before you started your day, and here you have Zuhur, from Fajr till Zuhur, what not can happen to your life in between? Depression, situations of life. And when you came out for the marketplace, because that marketplace is where the parishani is.
Yes.
The marketplace is where you see the next person making rosy and you can't understand what's happening to my shop. And then Azan goes, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And the call of Allah azza wa jalla causes you to shut your shop down and say, let me go and make sajda in the court of Allah. Once you come out of there, you would not be thinking, why I never make money like him. The iman is supposed to increase and give precedence to this. That Allah knows what he needs to give. Allah azza wa jalla knows best what I need in my life. And he azza wa jalla will give me what I deserve, what I need through his rahmat and his mercy. At the moment, we think we deserve this and we need that. But Allah knows best what's best for us, Ya Sayyidi. And we desire the things which could actually take our lives at times. We desire things that could ruin the actual peace and happiness in our families. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best of planners. And when He plans our life, subhanAllah, this is the way we need to entrust Allah Azza wa Jalla with everything. What is the meaning of قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And this month itself, if we look at this month, Hujjat al-Haram is ending with sacrifices, selflessness. And all of those bayans we may have heard on Madini channel from time to time, Ya Sayyidi. And again, it's starting with Muharram al-Haram. It's ending, if you look at it, it was all about sorrow and pain. But then how did Sayyid al-Shuhada Imam Hussein radiyallahu anhu and the Ahlul Bayt face those challenges? Imagine if we were just, quarter of the pain came to us. It's the end of the world. People can't get over one death. Imam Hussein radiyallahu anhu had so many shuhadas from his camp.
From his family.
From his Mubarak and blessed family. His Janithar, those who were ready to sacrifice their lives for the Ahlul Bayt, is a different category altogether. Speaking about Ahlul Bayt, Allahu Akbar, Ya Sayyidi.
Allah.
But today, we can't get over one death for 10 years, and here, Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu from his own family had brought in so many mayyits, so many blessed bodies from the garden of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, we need to always compare our problems with those who had bigger problems in their lives. Just as we compare our small cars with the better vehicles, just as we compare our small homes with the big mansions, we need to compare our problems as well. My problem is this. Let me look at somebody who got a bigger problem, because once I feel my problem is small, I can do good. When I feel my problem is a bigger mountain, and there's no one can give me a good solution for my problem, it feels like, in the whole world, I'm the only one suffering from this. And Ya Sayyidi, what solutions we have given is actually the way out here. We need to fall in love with the Quran. The Quran reminds us our purpose of existence, how we need to live and lead our lives as Muslims. The hadith of Rasulullah explains to us so well, عُبُّ الدُّنْيَا رَأْسُ كُلِّ خَطِيئَةٍ, that the love of this dunya is the root of all these problems that we have in our lives. We have fallen in love with the world. Some have married the dunya. Some only live for the world. Our actions prove. We recite the kalima from the tongue, but the actions show how much into the dunya we have drowned. And Allahu Akbar, the price of this, our families are paying, Ya Sayyidi. Our children are praying. Because you had the mind to make money, but your child is not the same as you.
Right.
You taught him how to spend money. You never taught him how to make money. You never taught him how to have sabr over patience. But we taught them how to pay the money and get rid of the pain that you have. But not everybody has money in their lives to do what they want to do in life, Ya Sayyidi. You know, majority of the dunya is this, that we live from hand to mouth.
Right.
80% of the dunya, 70% of the dunya is like that. And the wants of the people have overweighed the needs of people.
Absolutely.
We have more wants than needs.
We sometimes come, you know, sometimes we think that, you know, money would have solved all our problems. But really speaking, there are people that have money, but they still have problems.
They still have problems.
So money doesn't solve our problems. It doesn't take away our difficulties. It doesn't take away our losses. The one person experiences financial problems, another experiences family problems, another experiences problems at work. Someone else has a lot of money, but they're experiencing difficulty with their health. Life is like this. There's no complete joy in this world. We can't, nobody comes to a state where everything is set and everything is perfect. We have to be ready for this. We have to know that things are going to go up, things are going to go down. We can't be holding on to our sadnesses such that we can't experience any more happiness. Sadness is a state. And it's a temporary state. It's not a permanent state. Sadness, it's a temporary feeling.
Mm.
And we're going to get it. And when we feel sad, then let it be. Let us feel sad. We are insan. We are human beings. Sadness, but don't let it stay with us permanently. Don't
I think you appreciate happiness more when you are sad a little bit.
Yes. When,
how do you
when
appreciate?
We do,
yeah.
Yes, we wouldn't know the joy of happiness if we never if we never felt the sorrow of sadness. The joy of happiness is felt most and is appreciated most by the one who has felt the sorrow of sadness. So when sadness has hit us, and then we feel happiness, then alhamdulillah, the happiness seems great. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, beautiful narration regarding Huzur Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When one of Huzur Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's blessed children had passed from. Now just remember that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that great Nabi of Allah, greatest Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he too, not just lost, you know, elders, lost his own blessed children also passed on. Sayyidina Ibrahim, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the blessed son of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he had passed on, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam held his own blessed son, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shed tears from his own blessed eyes. And the Sahaba ikram asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are crying that you taught us patience sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that beautiful words, the eyes shed tears, but the heart is content upon the will of Allah. The eyes shed tears, but the heart is content upon the will of Allah. Remember this when we are in our sadness. When we are in our sadness,
profound.
That we are sad, we are feeling it, we are insan, we are human beings, we're going to feel the sadness. But always let the heart be content upon the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we hold on to that, my heart is content upon the will of Allah, inshallah azza wa jalla, that sadness will never get a chance to translate into depression. It will just remain a temporary sadness, but our hearts will always be content upon the will of Allah.
Ameen ya Rabbul Alameen, subhanallah. Sayyidi, wonderful words you have shared. And I hope and pray that those who have watched Madinah channel today would implement this in their lives, inshallah azza wa jalla. This advice was very generalized, mashallah, for small and big, and for every person from all walks of life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our owner. He is a sustainer, the cherisher, the nourisher. This world is a place of test, dear viewers. Various causes of depression. I don't know what the depression could be in your life. But at the end, the solution is one. Just love your Allah. Just know that you're being tested. Just know that sometimes our actions are the reason for why we go through what we go. وَمَا أَصَابَكُمْ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَيَعْفُوا أَنْ كَثِيرٍ. Look up this verse, inshallah, azza wa jalla, and see how we have earned the difficulties that befall us in the dunya. We have caused it to come our way, and this expiates for our sins in our life.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. If not, were you going to be able to face this on Yawmul Qiyamah? So Allah Kareem removes and washes our sins in the dunya due to these difficulties. That's part of life. And the reason why it will expiate for our sins is because we are mu'minun, we are believers. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. The fact that you have iman, even if a thorn will prick you, there will be a reward for that. Subhanallah. The fact that you have iman, you got depression, you had sabr over it, Allah will give you back in return. You never even imagined, but Allah will give you more than you want. Providing that you have yaqeen, you have conviction, you have iman, your iman is strong. And inshallah, azza wa jalla, nothing would shake your iman. May Allah Kareem pardon us. May Allah Kareem forgive us. Stay good, be good, do good. Maulana Sahib, shukran for being on Madani channel. May Allah Kareem bless you in abundance. And inshallah, we look forward to next week, inshallah, azza wa jalla. Until next time, sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi
wa sallam.
Reformation of Ummah, Ummah. Reformation of Ummah, Ummah. Reformation.